Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast.
We are one church that meets in various locations across Greater Manchester.
For more information about who we are or where we meet,
please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com. I wonder who you most look like. Some people are the spitting image of their parents. Even tiny babies can look like their gran somehow. Even with so many people in this church, if you were new to the church, I think it would be pretty easy to match up the children with their relatives. Have you ever noticed how some couples weirdly look like each other? Or even weirder, how some people sometimes look like their pets? We love those face apps that make you look older or fatter or younger or like the opposite sex. And last week, Gracie made me look younger on one of those apps, and I looked just like her. Today, we start a new series about God and what he looks like. God is completely different to us, and yet because we were created in his image, we also reflect and share some of his qualities. Just like we might look a bit like our mum or dad or your Auntie Gillian, we also each reflect something of God himself. Now, there are some ways that God is completely different to us. And in those ways, we can't possibly be like him. The way he's all powerful, the way he's infinite and omnipresent. He has the ability to be everywhere all at once. He's all knowing. He knows that every thought and motive of every person who has ever existed. He knows everything about everyone all of the time. He's completely self-sufficient and completely unchanging. Nothing can change who he is, and he's always completely and utterly good. No circumstance or situation can throw him off guard. He doesn't have good days and bad days. He doesn't wake up in a grump. He's not impacted by hormones. He never overreacts. He's always loving. He's always good. Since the beginning of the world, people have been trying to be like God in the ways that are actually impossible to. Because when we try and hold all the power and control in situations, or when we want to know everything about everything and be everywhere all at once, we generally fall flat on our face. We get exhausted. We burn out and we stretch ourselves so thinly that in the end, we're no good to anyone. We make assumptions. We come to completely the wrong conclusion. We judge situations and people all because we don't have all the information. We are limited so that we cannot possibly do all the good things we want to do. We cannot possibly meet all the needs of all the people around us. And we'll not always know what to do. We'll not always have the skills, the ability, the capacity to do it. We are not God, but we do know God. And he wants us to rely on him and not on ourselves. Isn't it incredible to think that God, who is always good and right and just and loves us, knows all the information about everything all the time? And so when we haven't got the information about our lives and our futures, when we don't understand what is happening around us, we can still trust him because he does. He knows. God, in his good wisdom, created us with limitations. And one of the beautiful things about getting to know God more and more is understanding that those limitations are placed on us for our good. Because God wants us to rely on him and not on ourselves. This is exactly what faith is, trusting him and not ourselves. There is wonderful freedom in embracing the limitations that we have been given and trusting God with the rest. So when that house or job or relationship doesn't work out, even though it might be disappointing, we can trust God that He knows best. When we feel misunderstood or not valued, when the circumstance that we find ourselves in really was never in our life plan, we can trust God knowing that He knows all things. There are, however, also characteristics of God which we can relate to a little bit more because we have been made in His image. And whilst God displays these characteristics perfectly all of the time, we are called as His children and as followers of Jesus to display these characteristics too. And we're on a lifelong adventure of growing to look more and more like Jesus. He's created us all completely unique, but He wants each one of us to grow more and more in increasing likeness to Jesus, who completely and perfectly reflects Father God. You may be at a stage in life when you're looking ahead and wondering what you should do next. Maybe you're asking the big question, what does God want me to do with my life? What is my purpose? These are important questions, but God is far more concerned with who we are, the kind of person we are, than with what we do. His will for our life is to grow in becoming more and more like Jesus. And this is what this series is going to be all about, looking at those characteristics of God, which He perfectly is, and allowing Him to grow those same characteristics in us so we become more and more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:17 to 18 says this: Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We all are being transformed into His image. I've noticed that the older I get, the easier it is to get comfortable with how things are. It's easy to play it safe, slip into routines and habits, and I think I just step out in faith far less than I did back in my 20s. But no matter our age, God wants to transform us into His likeness more and more. So over the next few weeks, there are 10 characteristics of God that we're going to be looking at. Character traits that God gives us that we can grow in. They are holiness, what we're looking at today, love, goodness, justice, mercy, grace, faithfulness, patience, truthfulness, and wisdom. And I don't know about you, but I long to grow more like Jesus in all these ways. And I'm praying that God will use this series to do just that in all of us as we gaze on the beauty and wonder of God together. Let me pray quickly that God would do that. Father God, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would transform us to look more like Jesus. Come and have your way in our hearts. Come and have your way in our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to look more like Jesus. Amen. So today we start with holiness. And 1 Peter 1 verse 15 to 16 says, But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, Be holy because I am holy. There is no other word in the Bible that describes God more often than the word holy. It's written about 700 times. But what does holy mean? It means set apart and different. I like this kid's translation. The fact that God is holy means He is so special and perfect that we can't help but love Him, serve Him, and tell Him how wonderful He is. For people to be holy means being like God in their behaviour and actions. It's in how they live their lives. In my early 20s, there were two things that had significant impact on my faith. One was my time spent in 24/7 prayer rooms and the value that was placed on time with God in my church. And the other was listening to this book, Holiness by J.C. Ryle. It's a series of preaches about the holiness of God, which I listened to with some friends. As I spent time gazing at the glory and holiness of God in awe of who he is, it was like God gave me a tiny glimpse of himself that increased my faith and just made me love him more. Isaiah 6 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And Isaiah 48 verse 17 says, "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go." Holiness for us means being set apart for God and different to the world around us, being totally different, devoted to God and without sin. It means being of one mind with God, thinking the way he thinks, loving the way he loves, acting the way he acts. Just let that sink in for a minute. Okay, so maybe we can begin to get our heads around the fact that God is holy and without sin and that Jesus was holy and without sin. But here in this passage we've just read, believers in Jesus, we are asked to be holy in everything we do, to be without sin in everything we are. J.C. Ryle puts it like this: sin is that vast moral disease which affects the whole human race of every rank, class, name and nation, people and tongue. Only Jesus was born free of this disease. Anything we think, say, do, imagine that is not in line with how God works is sin. We are all guilty of sin. Sin hides in our hearts, it crouches at our doors, it's all around us. Sin desires to lead us away from God and worshipping him alone and putting our hope in other things, even good things. Sin will tell us the sneakiest of lies because it desires to take our eyes off Jesus and focus on anything other than him. Because without Jesus, sin leads us to ruin, to death. Sin leads to death except for the cross of Jesus. We have just celebrated the greatest moment in history when Jesus conquered death and sin and shame, taking the guilt of our sin upon himself. Leviticus 20 verse 8 says, "I am God who makes you holy." Because of the cross, God now looks at those of us who've put our trust in him and has pronounced us holy. It's like a legal declaration we've been justified. It's just as if we've never sinned. So if you've put your trust in Jesus, whatever kind of life you've lived, God looks at you and sees the word holy written over you. The cross makes us right with God. God looks at me and you and sees the righteousness of Jesus. We are holy in his sight. Some of us need to hear that today. If you've put your trust in Jesus and his death on the cross, whatever you are feeling this morning, however you have lived this week, the cross has made you right with God. And yet we know we still mess up. We still repeatedly choose our own way and not God's way. Our thought life, our motives, our words, our actions are often not how God would have us be. God has declared us holy, but he is also making us holy. It's an ongoing process and it will take our whole lives. The good news is, from the moment you decided to put your trust in Jesus, We are never on our own. God is totally committed to having a people who are set apart for him. Our holiness does not depend on us, but on God. When the Holy Spirit opened our eyes to see our sin and great need for God, when he gave us faith to repent and say sorry, the Holy Spirit, who is the expert on holiness, came alongside us to live in us. He's continually by our side, giving us direction and showing us the way to live. I passed my driving test when the kids were little. I've got the piece of paper, my driving license, declaring that I am allowed to drive. But I'm still learning. There are certain routes that I feel totally confident driving. And there are others where I feel a wobbly mess. I've still not been on a proper motorway. The more I drive, the better I get, but I'm not sure I will ever be 100% a confident driver. Sometimes when Tom is in the car with me, it's a little bit like having the Holy Spirit alongside me. Tom might gently say, "Lizzie, you're in the wrong lane." And I might say, "Stop it. I know what I'm doing," and carry on. And then Tom might again gently say, like the Holy Spirit, "Lizzie, you can't stay in this lane." And I might say, "Stop it. You're distracting me." And then I might say, "Ah, this lane is taking me to the motorway." And then I freak out. When Tom and I were first married many, many years ago, and we were making flat pack furniture together, we might have a quick look at the instructions and decide, well, it all looks like it's in a foreign language, and decide that we'll just be fine without it. And then a while later, we might be struggling with how to do it. And it seems like there's an important piece missing. And we're beginning to get frustrated with IKEA, who've clearly left that piece out. And so we might turn to YouTube, because surely someone will have made a video about how to put together a shoe rack. But then when the video kind of lets us down and it still hasn't really helped us, we might eventually turn back to the instructions and study them a little harder and realise that we're not missing a piece at all. And it's just because we've done it completely wrong. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 3 years old. God declared me holy, and yet I still sin. I still try and do life on my own, and I forget to look at God's instructions in his word. I regularly long for my way and not God's way. I choose my glory over his glory. I don't love others as he does. And there are moments, if I'm really honest, that I don't actually want to be different. I want to live for the same things that other people are living for. Even though I know that the only real joy is found in Jesus, I am God's work in progress. We all are. Living differently to others means being honest with God on a daily basis about our struggles and asking him to help us put our hope in him alone. Holiness is not pretending that we have it all together. It's not putting on an external appearance, faking it for others and even ourselves that we are sorted. That is called being a Pharisee. Holiness is being honest about our brokenness, about the everyday struggles, about our weaknesses, and turning to God again and again, acknowledging that we are not enough, but allowing the truth that Jesus is enough to set us free. For some of us here, I wonder if being told we're sinners immediately makes us shudder. Sadly, the church throughout history has used sin as a weapon against us. We've been told that we're bad, we're not good enough, and we've lived with shame because of it. People have used sin as a way to exert power over us and control us. This was never, ever God's intention, because the truth of sin is very different. God's desire for us to grow in holiness is always to bring true life and freedom. God wants us to increasingly turn from walking our own way and to trust his way more and more, because he knows, being all-knowing and all-loving and all-good, that he is the way, the truth and the life. Our Father in heaven knows the very best way for us, and he wants the very best for us. This is why he calls us to holiness. Growing in holiness is increasingly trusting God's way and not our way, and being obedient to him. It's following Jesus and not what the world around us tells us. It's treasuring him more than anything else or anyone else, because he is where true, deep, everlasting life, peace and joy is. We're given guidance about how to live all the time. Don't run in corridors, no diving in the shallow end, stop at the red traffic lights, wear a seatbelt. All these laws are given for our good and protection. When God in his word gives us guidance on how to behave, being that he is the one who created us and the world, and the fact that he knows everything about everything and he is 100% good and loving, then it's probably a good idea to listen up and do it, even if we don't understand it or it goes against what everyone else is doing. God longs for us to follow him in his ways and increase in holiness, not because he wants to spoil our fun or exert his power over us, but because it's for our very best. We don't like admitting our weakness and struggle. We don't like acknowledging that we're in the wrong. It's really hard to say sorry. But when we honestly come before God, saying sorry and asking for his help, God not only forgives us, but his power, his transforming power, is able to work in us. And we can be confident and walk tall, because although we will continue to fight with the sin and the temptations that our hearts will throw at us for the rest of our days, our sin and struggle do not define who we are. Other people's idea of us doesn't define us, because God looks at us and he says, "Holy, you're holy, you're mine." In all our brokenness and mess, we've been picked up and chosen to be God's holy ones. Once on a path to destruction, now on a path leading to true life. And as we walk this narrow path with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit as our helper, increasingly saying no to sin, we learn how to live a life of faith. We're more patient in trials. We're more aware of our weak hearts and more like Jesus in all our daily ways. So just quickly, how do we grow in holiness? Firstly, we need to be honest with God that we need him. Sometimes all we can muster is the energy to say, "Help," and that's okay. Before Tim Keller passed away from pancreatic cancer, I heard him in an interview say this: "When you get up in the morning and you know you are not going to get through the day unless you experience God that day, unless you go to him and seek him in prayer, only then do you realise that he is actually available." He goes on to talk about how his greatest fear would be that if he was to improve in health and get better, that he and his wife would go back spiritually to where they were before he had cancer. He recognised that most of us will say, yeah, we need to depend on God, but generally we live as if it all depends on us, and we don't invite God in nearly as much as we could. Our weakest moments are often the very place where we find the closeness of God. The more honest we are with ourselves about our weakness, the more we have to rely on God, and the more he really gives us what we need. He loves us. Secondly, to grow in holiness, we need to be honest with each other that we need him. What a freedom it is to know that we do not have to pretend that we have it all together. There is no shame in weakness. We can have such deeply honest relationships with each other because we don't need to be ashamed. We all need Jesus. Sometimes the most powerful thing we can do is to admit to someone we trust that we're struggling and allow them to speak truth into our lives. The strong and brave thing to do is to admit we need help. The deepest relationships we will have are those where we are most honest. There are secrets that I kept for years and years that brought me so much shame. But when I eventually shared them out loud with someone I trusted in my 20s, God immediately brought me freedom from the lies that the enemy had been telling me. When we bring secret things into the light, God shines his light and sets us free. Thirdly, we should live as though everything depends on our relationship with God. I'll say that again. Thirdly, we should live as though everything depends on our relationship with God. Like Tim Keller said, mostly we try and do life on our own, but there is so much richness and power and strength and hope and joy to be found when we rely on Jesus. Matthew 4 verse 4 says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." If we loved the word of God as much as we love food, what a difference it would make to our lives. If we prayed as if everything depended on God and not on us, what a difference it would make to our lives. As the hymn writer says, and we're going to sing it in a minute, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." I want to give some space for God to minister to our hearts now. Let's have real conversations with God. Maybe you have felt far from him and you sense him calling you to draw near again. Maybe you're not a Christian and yet you can feel God calling you to this life of freedom and joy and hope and forgiveness and freedom from shame. And you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you've been trying to get through life on your own and it feels too painful to open up to God or anybody. You're scared of facing the emotions. You are so safe with God. Maybe you are walking closely with Jesus, but this narrow path is hard and you need God to pour his love into your heart again and fill you with his Holy Spirit strength. Let's be honest before God, before we go into worship, and tell him where we're at and invite him into our weak places. We are on holy ground this morning and God is so for us. He is so for you. Let me pray. Lord, we invite you into our weakest places. We invite you into our hearts. God, you know us and you love us and you're for us. Please, will you have your way in our hearts? We give you ourselves again. Come and have your way. Amen.
Thanks for listening.
To explore this sermon or learn more about our church, please navigate to the links provided in this podcast description.
From there, you can connect with us on social media. And you're welcome to check out the music links featured in this episode from our very own musicians.
You can also discover current events and information about where we meet on Sundays and various groups or community projects that you can join in with.
If you're interested in knowing more about us or wish to join us for one of our meetings, please reach out.
Simply drop us an email at hello@ccm.org.uk.
We look forward to connecting with you.